Well, good morning, church. It is great to see you all on this just really beautiful Mother's Day. We are so thankful for your presence, for your being a part of such a special day for Forest Mill. It's come to be a great tradition, one that my wife and I were just tickled pink the first time we got to be here for a baby dedication, and it's not lost its luster in the least to see these families standing up here and with these beautiful babies and have our elders praying over them. I think it's just a great thing. By the way, families, we tried our best to get your pictures while you were up here, but we're not successful. The elders did not arrange you in a good formation. So if you would like to stay afterwards, we'll try to get our very best to get you a family picture to sort of, you know, blow up into a poster for your family home. Obviously, it would be something we want to remember and hope you'll want to remember as well. So we're really thankful for that. It is a great Mother's Day, and I'm sure all of you moms out there are enjoying your Mother's Day's gifts. I am a little disappointed that not all the moms are wearing all their gifts today. Maybe later. I don't know. In all seriousness, we are indeed thankful for all the loving and godly mothers we have out there. I just cannot imagine a more difficult or a more important job. I want you just for a moment to imagine what our world would be like if our moms didn't do that job. How different would our world be if we didn't have these amazing women to sort of help teach and guide us through life? What if, just as an experiment, we abolished all the teachings that we learned from our mothers? We did away with all their rules about safety and kindness and consideration. What kind of world would we have if we did that, right? Or what if we took it even a step further and we didn't just take away all the mom rules, we took away just pretend all the rules, all of the laws, all of the institutions that enforce the laws? What would happen then? I mean, then not only have you got an absence of sort of a healthy upbringing, but you'd be also have a society that was completely unable to govern itself, right? I think we could agree that, you know, in a very short period of time, we would have a complete societal collapse, a complete loss of order in our world. And we would describe this as lawlessness or even anarchy. And I didn't even really think about the fittingness of calling the Mother's Day sermon anarchy, but ladies, you're welcome. This morning, we are continuing our study through the book of Galatians. And we've got to kind of ask this same question. What happens when you do away with the law? What happens when the law that has always governed the people of God is eliminated? And more than that, if we're just going to eliminate it, why do we ever have the law in the first place if God was only going to eventually abolish it and make it obsolete? That's what Paul has to answer, because he's convincing these Galatian Christians, look, you don't have to keep the law any longer. And he's trying to explain to them why, but he's got some really serious questions to deal with. So in Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 19, he says, why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions until the seed and to whom the promise had referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. That's Moses, by the way. A mediator, however, implies more than one party. But God is one. Is law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if the law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come could be revealed, so that the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Now, this has obviously been a long morning already. We've already had a lot of stuff going on. So we're just really going to try to crunch this all down, because Paul makes a lot of really sort of complicated arguments here. But here's the short version. We're going to go for the quick and dirty version this morning. In short, Paul argues that the law was very important, because that's what his opponents are waiting for him to say. They're waiting for Paul to slip up and say, "Nah, the law, that's no big deal. Don't worry about that." But Paul doesn't say that. He says, no, the law is very important, and it was very important. It was a huge step in God's relationship with man, but that it was limited. That's what he's saying, that the law was in some ways, in a couple of ways, really limited. Number one, it had a really limited function. The function of the law was solely so that we might recognize our sin. That's what he said. It wasn't about getting you right with God. It was about you understanding why you weren't right with God. And secondly, it was limited in time. That means that it was just in place until he said the coming promised seed, which he recognizes as Christ. Now, here we know that Paul's opponents are likely Jewish Christians, not just Jewish people, but Jewish Christians, because they recognized that when Christ came, we got right with God. We came to a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. They recognized that, but they still thought in order to follow Christ, we had to keep the law. So what Paul's really saying here is moms, this is something you can understand. We're just going to use a little bit of analogy this morning. I would argue you probably understand it better than any of us. Some of you moms, in fact, are still in this phase, but lots of us parents are at least going to remember this period of time where you had to give your kids like hard and fast rules for their safety. Right? You know what I'm talking about? So you've got things like, don't go in the road. Don't put your hand on the stove. Don't put things in electrical outlets. That's a really important one, kids. Right? You get all these hard and fast rules. And a million other rules that are all designed with a one specific function in mind. They're all about keeping our kids safe, right? So we'll tell them all these specific things to do or more likely to not do in order to keep them safe. That is the sole function of those rules, to keep our kids safe. But we know our kids are not going to stay small forever. They're not going to be infants or toddlers or adolescence even forever. And so over time, we know that we've got to raise some fully functioning adults who can drive their cars on the road every day. Fully functioning adults who can use a stove to prepare their meals anytime they need. Fully functioning adults who are able to use the electrical outlets in their homes and at work to plug in all sorts of things, right? Those rules that we give them, moms, that the ones you make up on the spot oftentimes, are extremely necessary for the safety and well-being of our children, but they are limited in function and time, just like the law of Moses. Now, as adults now, you probably, does anybody remember like some crazy, silly rules you had growing up? You maybe can do that. I remember some that I look back and I'm like, what was that rule about? Don't pick your nose in public. You can do that anytime, right? What was this about? I remember the rule about you can't wear black and brown together. And I was like, Mom, I can do that. And my wife tells me I can't, but I still do. Right? We get these rules that we look back and we think that these rules are silly. These rules don't still have a function in our life. And yet, they still do play a really important role in our adult lives. The rules we no longer keep still guide us today. And we don't follow and keep those. I get in the road multiple times a day. I cook things on the stove with varying success, like Joel. I use electrical outlets all the time. I don't necessarily keep those rules, but they were taught to me, and now I'm able to do something that our small children cannot do. And what we're going to call this is we as adults are able to pay, we're going to call it adult attention, right? The danger that's inherent in using the road or the stove or the electrical outlets, that danger is still there, very much so. But now that we've grown, we can learn how to utilize those things properly for our benefit despite those dangers, because we're aware of the dangers and because we can pay adult attention. I can use the stove not because I'm tall enough or I'm old enough, but because I can pay attention enough not to touch the hot stuff. I can use the road not because I'm, 49 years old or because I'm almost 200 pounds now. I can use the road because I can pay adult attention behind the wheel and have the hand-eye coordination to use the wheel and the pedal at the same time, right? But even now, from time to time, we come across these situations where we're still unsure. And on those occasions, we find ourselves thinking back to the mom rules, thinking back to the instructions that our mothers have given us along the way in order to navigate a new way forward. I come across something I'm unsure of, and I think about, what did my parents tell me? What did my mom tell me? What did my dad tell me about something similar? And I'll use those rules to figure out the right thing to do in this new situation. And specifically with my mom, I think about that when I'm trying to navigate relationships or in taking care of our health or in taking care of our finances or in looking after our own children, right? Those rules that I no longer keep still have a real important role in my life. And so do we still as Christians today. We find ourselves going back to the law of Moses. Paul's not saying that the law of Moses is unimportant. In fact, he never says that. What he says is it was limited in time and function, but we still use it. We come across a new situation. We're trying to figure out what's the moral thing, the right thing to do going forward. That the law still guides our moral decisions. But the law was never designed to be our primary means of relating to God. It was always about faith. So moms, I'm just going to leave you with one sort of last word of encouragement. I'm not a mom. And at this point, odds are really slim that I'm ever going to be a mom. So I'm not going to pretend to give you advice or anything along those lines. But if I could give you one piece of encouragement, it would be this. It's that your daily efforts in raising your children. And some of you may think about it as the daily grind. And if you've ever stayed home with toddlers or little kids, it's hard. It's really hard. And for those of you moms who are in that, it is a tedious work enforcing all of these little rules, right? But your work and those little rules, they are still shaping the world. Specifically, you're shaping the world of this one child, but more than that, you are shaping the world at large. Now, it's true that as adults, most of those rules have been set aside. Most of those rules we no longer keep. And yet, time and time again, as adults, we find ourselves going back to them for guidance. So my prayer is that God may bless you as you continue to do the good work of raising godly kids in our world today. And if we can offer you words of encouragement, or if you need prayers for strength, or if you would like to come forward and there's any need we can help you meet this morning, we encourage you to do so now as we stand and as we sing.